And coming up next, our bookshelf host, Raina Menashe, will be interviewing East County Magazine's very own Baja blogger, Susan Mihalik, about her book for folks interested in living or traveling in Baja, California.
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Susan A. Mihalik, author of My Gold Coast Baja, Practical Guide, which has recently been released in its second edition and as an ebook. Welcome, Susan. It's a pleasure having you on Bookshelf.
Thank you.
Let's start with the topic of your book, Baja, California, or more specifically, the northern tip of Mexico. You moved there from San Diego 11 years ago, and you moved by yourself without a book like yours to follow. Start by telling us a little bit about that journey and what it is about Baja that drew you then and draws you still.
Well, what happened actually is I was going down there for long weekends with a friend that had a house down there, and I noticed after a while I started crying coming back this way on a Sunday evening.
Really?
And I said, I have a solution for that. I was living in Hillcrest at the time, which was very expensive.
Yes.
And I found a place down there for $400 for a house.
Wow.
Now, I didn't realize at the time that my commuting costs were going to make it almost equivalent to living up here by the time you do the insurance in two countries and everything else that's in there. But it was just a comfortable place to live, and actually the demographic is largely single women.
Really?
Which you don't find out till you live there. So for me to say that it's safe down there, I can say that with certainty. I don't know of a single person who's gotten killed that's an American in almost 12 years.
Now, why do you think that the media gives the impression that it is so unsafe?
Well, certain parts of Mexico are. I've already been told I don't want to travel to Sinaloa. I don't want to go to Jalisco. Everybody's heard about Ciudad Juarez, which is right across the border from Texas, where it's so dangerous, it's crazy. So, like any other country, you have to be very careful about where you are. I would never even visit Detroit in the United States.
Right.
But where I am, it's totally safe. There's 2,000 people in the little town of La Misión. And most of the activity of violence is between the cartel and the police and the military. It doesn't involve a regular citizen at all, ever.
Civilians. And what about finding work in Baja? Is that something that people do or no? They don't.
No, Americans can't find work down there.
Typically,
they are retired and they start their dream business. Two of my best friends down there are winemakers.
Ah.
Now, for them to start a wine business up in Napa or Sonoma would have been almost impossible.
Right.
And my one friend actually makes wine on her back porch.
That's a good story. Well, let's go to your book. It's been called a primer and guide for those considering visiting or an extended stay in Mexico. Tell us more about the format and purpose of the book. I know you have photos from David Worthy that you include. You have anecdotes and advice on things like medical care and how to move in the first place. So give us a snapshot of your book.
Well, what happened is I started writing for the Baja Times, which Dennis Moore has also written for as a freelancer. And I found that people were really responding to my articles. So, of course, I saved all of those. And then I added in things like the medical care, how do you move there, what's food shopping like, how should you dress in Baja. I mean, leave the gold jewelry at home. Don't cover yourself and make yourself look, you know, ostentatious when you go out. So it's a primer of how to live there as far as heating your home and all of that. But it's also a sampling of the wineries and the different great restaurants. But I didn't make it like a farmer's guide. I made it a sampler, I call.
So you use the photos to capture the beauty, not just the information.
Right. It's not all-inclusive, but I found when I was there for the first year, every day was like this huge learning curve. You're in a brand-new country.
Yes.
And everything's different. And so this, I've had people read it that have just moved there, and they find it invaluable. Because now they've got, they know at least now how to get insurance and what Medicare care is like and dental care. mm-hmm. which is a fraction of what it is up here.
Right. And what about the language barrier? How, did you know Spanish when you moved there? Did you learn it while you were there?
Well, I had the high school Spanish still back in the brain somewhere, and I find just like any other experience, you just start, you jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would talk to the border guards, or I would talk to the person checking out my groceries. I didn't know very much Spanish, but it's almost all English-speaking
mm-hmm.
because it is so close to the border. The wait staff, the medical people, the doctors, mm-hmm. everybody speaks English. So there is no barrier, really.
Interesting. You're from New Jersey, and I know, as an East Coaster, that that's many worlds and cultures away from your current home. Describe for us the locale that you have fallen in love with, the one that most tourists don't see. What are a few of Baja's hidden places?
Oh, that's Guadalupe Valley. That's the wine valley. Now, I brought a bottle of wine up here once to somebody that was really familiar with Sonoma County. He didn't know they'd even made wine in Baja, which is the major wine-growing region. And I'm only 35 minutes away on just a really simple, easy road. And also, what's really interesting about Guadalupe Valley is that there's starting to be these five-star chefs showing up, like Drew Deckman, who had a place in Cabo. And he just closed it, and he's got an outdoor restaurant. They're called campestres. Basically, they put up a wood grill and some kind of shade, and it's a restaurant. No overhead cost. And they're springing up, I'd say, about one every 3 months. There's a new one that opens, and they're amazing. Things like octopus on the grill.
Oh, that sounds good.
And here's another weird one. How about a salad, a romaine lettuce salad? That's wood-fired.
On the grill?
On the grill.
I've never heard of that.
But it was very good. And it's really reasonable. A meal for a person in the wine valley for lunch is $15.
Speaking of money, let's go a little bit more into the financial side of it. The real estate and tax prices that you quote in the book are fantastic. What is the financial side of life typically for an American relocating to Baja, other than the less expensive house or apartment?
Well, it's not just that. What most Californians fell in love with when they cashed in their property up here is that the average property that runs about $300,000, the taxes per year are $250 per year, which is phenomenal. Now, I pay $300 for a studio apartment with fantastic views in a gated community.
You can't beat that. what about the medical care, the food? Is it just everything across the board?
Everything's cheaper with the exception of Coca-Cola and beer.
Oh,
I just had a filling last week, and their dentists down there are very caring, and people actually come from France to get dental care in Baja. I guess they have expensive dentists there, too. I had a filling put in. It was very extensive. She drilled for at least half an hour, and it was $25.
Okay. Now, what about the social life? In your book, you talk about how easy it is to make friends over there and get involved in the local art scene, which I find interesting. In your opinion, what is it about Baja that creates a welcoming community for Americans, other than having other Americans there? What is it that is so welcoming?
Well, I found in San Diego, everybody was either on the freeway or working two jobs or doing whatever they had to survive. Whereas down there, you mostly have retirees, so they had time on their hands. I made good friends within the first 6 months of being there. Whereas I had difficulty in San Diego because I might make a friend and they would be 40 miles from where I live.
Right. Right.
But then there's all these different groups you can get into. You can take up horseback riding. You can take up bridge. There's two groups that I think are wonderful for all the single women called Ladies That Lunch. And so we go to these fantastic restaurants you wouldn't normally dream of going to, like Mission 19 in Tijuana,
right.
And sit there and eat for 4 hours for $40 with drinks.
Now, are there single men there as well? Is that something that is part of the equation? Sometimes?
Sometimes. Well, I consider there's almost two camps. There's the people that sit all day in bars and drink, and of course I don't count them. But you do meet men at events,
mm-hmm.
by and large, especially like a wine event. Tomorrow night I'm going to a tequila tasting. That's for my favorite charity, which is the libraries down there. Mm-hmm. The Americans have made a major impact on all the volunteerism that they do there.
Awesome. And they have good libraries there, too.
They do now.
Okay.
Because the Americans kind of made that their impact.
And that's very important, especially for a writer, right? And readers. One more question, Susan. What's next? Is there another book in the works? And if so, will it cover a similar topic or something else entirely?
Well, the new neighborhood I moved into, my two neighbors on one side, Jerry and David, lived in a place called Angel's Camp. And now that's off the grid, which means there's no sewer, there's no water, there's no electricity. And there's a few little places down there. The cover of my book is Campo Lopez, which is another one. But I'm doing a book on Angel's Camp because there's been all of these fascinating people that move there. And people like lawyers and architects from LA that went down there and bought a place on the beach for like $2,000 back in the day. It started in the 60s. It's still fairly active. And I crashed a pig roast there the day after 4th of July. And I was just like, they were so welcoming. And they're like, come back, interview us. We're glad to be part of this project. So I'm going to do a total departure and do something that's about a community that brought surfers and architects and all these different people down to a place where they had to bring coolers and Coleman lanterns initially.
Fascinating. Look forward to seeing that. Our time is up, Susan, but thank you again for joining us.
I'm so glad to be here. I've been excited about this ever since I knew I was going to be doing this interview. Thanks for having me here.
For more information on Susan Mihalik and her work, please visit her Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Susan.Mihalik, which is MAHALICK. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.